Just going to give everybody a couple more minutes.
Hi, Don. Good to see you.
Hey, Don.
How are you? Good, I can't complain. I'm glad you're here.
To see you, buddy.
Thanks for doing the energy work. You enjoyed it, right? Good. It's the second Sunday of every month.
Okay, I guess we're about ready to begin. So I'm going to suggest you take a moment to just allow yourself to get grounded and centered. Opening more and more to the truth of who you are. Knowing that our hearts and minds are connected with many, many, many other beings who are doing similar work like this. All with the same heartfelt purpose and intention and willingness. And so we give ourselves a moment to take all of that in. We begin with the Unity's prayer of protection. The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. And the presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is. And all is well. We begin our lesson this morning on page 15. The first thing we begin to run across is what we ended on last week. It's kind of the idea that the mind is always, or always thinks it's a couple of steps in front. So it would say, well, here you are on your spiritual path, but you should be over here someplace. And if we play that game, we're always going to be playing catch up. We're never going to be where we think we're supposed to be. Thing about it is that we're talking about two things here. One is we're speaking of our perception of where we are. And my perception of where I am is not necessarily the truth of where I am. It's just my perception at that moment. So we're going to be asked this morning and other times as well to let go of our perceived notions of where we are on the spiritual path and let the spiritual path define itself where you are. Doesn't matter what you think that looks like. It doesn't matter what you think it should be. What matters most is you allow yourself to be embraced by where you are in your spiritual path, no matter what your mind might say, no matter what the book might say, no matter what you might think, no matter what you might feel, saying, "Here I am." I think it was the prophet Isaiah said, "Here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am. I don't define this. I don't even try to define this. I am where I am. And I can't be any other place." That's the key element. You can't be any other place than where you are right now in your spiritual path. So let that be. Let that be undefined by you. Because definition involves the thinking mind, the intellect, which is never really going to know exactly where you are on your spiritual path because it just doesn't work that way. It's always looking for proof, always looking for something to nail it down. Well, how do you know you're there? Let's see, what book are we on now? So it's kind of interesting when Margo was the one who came up with the Book of Innocence, and I had not read that yet. I was still working on some books that were a little bit earlier than that. And of course, the first thing in my mind says, well, can we really do that? Can we skip to another book? That's my mind, my intellect working overtime. Well, it says, well, you're not skipping to anything. What you're doing is you're allowing yourself to be guided by your intuitive divine consciousness to say, what's next? And it doesn't have to be logical. It doesn't have to fit an intellectual framework. And so what we found, and we've been discovering this, and people have commented on this, that, you know, this Book of Innocence, which might have looked like we skipped a couple of books in between, but the essence of the material in here was just absolutely perfect for where we were. Yes, Linda.
I don't know. Maybe I've gone through classes with you the last three or four books. I don't remember how many I've gone through. But I feel like I understand this. It's a bit easier to read and have an understanding. Before I was just really reaching for things.
Okay.
Do I understand? So thank you, Marco.
Well, another way of putting that is this speaks to your soul, and you hear that. So with that in mind, let's open up to page 15. And even though this uses a little bit of a different kind of language, and it says the same thing what we're talking about here on the right on the top of the page. The guide speaking. When you strive for the highest place spiritually, without understanding the level of alteration you must undergo to maintain the high tone, you can create confusion. Paul says, what does that mean? The guides respond. Each text we have given you has supported a level of attunement that may be maintained in manifestation and maintained supports you in accruing the next level of vibrational tone and the awareness that accompanies it. Simply put, as you progress, the texts fall away. In other words, your need to understand with your thinking mind becomes less important than it might have been before. By the way, that's my interpretation. That's not necessarily the truth with a capital T. That's the best I can do in this moment. That's true for anything I might say, by the way. That's where I'm coming from at this particular moment, or where my perception is, but it's not necessarily your truth either. As you progress, the texts fall away. The need for attunements are gone, because you have embodied at this level. In other words, it's become more concretized It is part of your being. It is part of your being. When you are aligned in the upper room, the progress that occurs is still happening, but without the level of chaos or drama that you have known yourselves through in the lower field. That does not mean that you don't have challenges in the upper room, but it does mean that you meet those challenges in a different way. And maybe even dropping the word challenges might be helpful. That you approach the lessons that you find yourself in, and you find yourself approaching those or responding to those in a different way than you might have before. You have stopped denying the divine. You have moved to a comprehension of the reality that you are aligning in. And you do understand that each encounter is supportive of your learning, even if it's not what you would choose, even though it's not what you would choose consciously, let's put it that way. In the higher level, even if it's not what you would choose in the higher level you have aligned to. Many of our students, know it or not, embody the teaching and don't know that they do. Don't know up here, but they do that. They expect to be turning water into wine. They expect to be receiving dictation as the young man does before you. In fact, being this teaching is being as love, is being as compassion, is being as truth, and knowing those before you as God or source, if you wish, regardless of your expectations of what they should be, or how perhaps they should act, or how you think they should show up. So it's reaching a point that we've talked about before of coming to a state of awareness that everything that shows up in my life is a lesson that I've chosen to learn from. It's not something bad. It's not, woe is me. Why is this happening to me? I must have screwed up. That's why it's happening. It's none of that. It's whatever shows up in my life is a lesson to be learned. And that could be physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, could be any one of those, or could be all of those, combination of all of those things. For instance, looking at myself right now, there are a lot of things that are going on that are physical or happen in the material world. My body's getting older and it shows. The list of doctors that I see now has increased exponentially, right? Now I could say, why, that shouldn't be happening. Well, hell, you know, I'm 82 years old. What do you mean it shouldn't be happening? Like if you had a car that was 82 years old and it stopped running, would you get mad at the car and say, boy, that was a good ride? That lasted for a heck of a lot longer than I thought it was going to. Well, not necessarily that it completely breaks down, but it needs more work, needs more attention, needs more loving attention than it might have before. So this old car that I got and then just turn the key and start the engine up and go to one place to another, that was really nice maybe 5 or 6 or 10 or 15 years ago. But it doesn't work that way right now. Right now it needs to be a little bit more pampered, a little bit more loved, a little bit more taken care of. So it's not that there's something bad or wrong about that. It's like asking myself the question, what do I need? What is this teaching me? What do I need to learn from this? What's the lesson here? I think this was an old story, but I think I might have mentioned a long time ago. I had a friend of mine when I was working up in Columbus, Indiana, a place called Koala Center for alcohol and drug rehabilitation. It was called Koala Center because koala bears don't drink. They get all their moisture in their water from the eucalyptus leaves that they eat. So the story goes that as the Aborigines were sitting around their campfire, passing the bottle around, If you didn't want to drink, you would say koala. Pass to the next guy. Anyway, I'm working here at Koala Center. And I'm working with some people that I really, really, really care about, who love me, and I love them back. And I remember one of my friends, her name was Molly, Molly Malone. And every once in a while, Molly and I used to hang out together quite often. And I remember one time I was at her apartment and she was explaining to me something that was going on in her life. I can't remember exactly what it was. But she was walking up and down her living room carpet, walk as far as she could go and then turn around and go back. And she kept on repeating to herself out loud and to me as well, "What's the lesson here? What?" And it was like, "I will not let you go until you bless me." That famous story in the Old Testament where Jacob and the angel are wrestling with one another. And they're wrestling so hard that Jacob got his hip thrown out, but he's still holding on to this angel. It never did say what started the argument or the struggle, but it starts becoming daylight, and the angel says, "I've got to go." And he says, "I will not let you go until you bless me." Molly was doing somewhat of the same thing. What's the lesson here? I need to find out what the lesson is here so I can learn whatever it is I need to learn, so I don't have to keep repeating this. I don't want to do this for another lifetime. If there's a lesson up here that I'm supposed to be learning something from, what is it right now so I can do whatever it is I need to do with it, right, and be done with it? What's the lesson here? When we say these words now, we are saying them for all who will hear them. The divine will not lie. We're on page 16. It will not exclude. It cannot. Truth cannot lie, and God cannot be in deceit. To move to this level of agreement, in other words, everything has meaning. To move to this level of agreement is to reclaim innocence or a purified state of expression. In other words, everything's there. Everything's there. Everything has a purpose. Time for every purpose under heaven. Everything has a purpose. Everything has a meaning. You don't have to know exactly what that is. Because many times when I say, "What's the answer here? What am I supposed to learn here?" I will not get a verbal answer. I will simply get a truth back or somebody saying, "You know, you are learning whatever it is you need to learn." Accept that. Embrace that. Allow yourself to be embraced by that. Don't try to figure it out. Maybe you need to surrender. Maybe you need to heal. Maybe you need to let go. Maybe you need to love it. Like that old story about the guy who, farmer, well, not a farmer, a gardener, who had his own personal war against dandelions. Did everything, dug them up, poisoned them, pulled them up, still kept coming back. He finally wrote to the Department of Agriculture and said, "Here's what I'm doing. What do you have any other suggestions you can make?" And the answer came back, "Yes, sir, there's one more suggestion we can make. You need to learn to love them." Sometimes that's the answer. You need to learn to love them. Truth cannot lie, and God cannot be in deceit. To move to this level of agreement is to reclaim innocence or a purified state of expression. In other words, this is part of my journey. I will stop struggling. It's like that poem, Footprints in the Sand. You know, when the traveler is saying to the Christ, I know what's going on here when there's two footprints walking along the shore. That's when we're walking along here together. And he also said, I know what's going on here when there's one set of footprints. That's when you're carrying me. But there's a third reality over here, these two parallel lines in the sand. What's that all about? Ah, says the Christ. That's when I drag you kicking and screaming. Maybe that's the lesson sometimes. Can I learn whatever lesson is here for me without being, without kicking and screaming? Can I do that? As a therapist friend of mine used to start off every session by asking my body, my aura, my auric field, my energy level, can we do this gently? And if the answer was no, we'd find a way to do whatever work was, we'd find a way to do that gently rather than destructively or hurtfully, or trying to do it by brute force. Can we do this gently? Never forgot that. Can we do this gently? So it's not only just, can I do this, Jim? This does not mean you don't like your back rubbed or a nice drink before dinner. Well, depends on who you are. I gave up that privilege a number of years ago. It does not mean you are a saint. It does mean you have claimed the kingdom and indeed are the expression of it. And your presence and being will be available to all who hear the sound of the song of your expression. In other words, you touch everyone with your healing. You touch everyone and everything with your healing, with your letting go, with your release, with your transformation. It cannot be otherwise. So it's not just my little trip. It's not just your little trip. It's not just our little trip. Whatever you do touches all beings. It cannot not happen now. Will be available to all who hear the sound of the song of your expression. And let's take another example. If you have, let's suppose you've worked your way through a difficult task or a difficult piece of spiritual work. You have paved the way for other people to do the same thing. In fact, you've made it a little bit easier for them to do it. In physics, it's called a morphogenetic field, which is a form of energy that you move through. And when you first encounter this or move through it, it becomes rather difficult. But the more you push through that field, and the more others push through that field, the easier it becomes. So probably the easiest example of that is when Roger Bannister broke the formant mind. Before that time, it was considered to be a barrier that was unbreakable. And people would come really close, 0.2 of a second or really close, and nobody ever did it. He finally did it. And once he did it, people started doing it all the time. That's one of the reasons why we refer to Jesus or the Christ so often, because he moved through these morphogenetic fields that we thought were impossible. I have conquered death. I have changed water into wine. I have transfigured the world. I have overcome fear. I have lots of different things that have already have happened that we are still working on, but that the Christ consciousness has already done, has already worked through, has already created a movement through that morphogenetic field, that once that's done, it becomes easier for us to move through. I made reference to alcoholism a couple of minutes ago, but another great example of that is Dr. Bob and Bill Wilson. Up until that time, there was no no way of dealing with alcoholism in a way that it was helpful to a large group of people. Maybe some people made a breakthrough, most not. Here were two people who got together and essentially created an energy that allowed other people to participate in again and again and again until it grew into a movement of millions of people right now, which was something that was considered to be impossible. So don't discount what you do or how you do it, as difficult or even as easy as that might be sometimes, because you never know how you are creating an energy field that some people can move through because you move through that self first. It does mean you have claimed the kingdom and indeed are the expression of it, and your presence and being will be available to all who hear the sound of the song of your expression. The claim, "I know how I serve," which we have taught in prior texts, is the claim of expression. And the being that you are at this level of tone is the window, is the doorway, is the illumination that transforms the world you see. Thank you for your presence. Stop now, please. The illumination that transforms the world you see. Opening myself up to the possibility that I can see a world at peace. Using my logical mind, using my historical mind, saying, well, that sounds nice, but it's never happened. So what makes you think it can happen this time? What makes you think that you can do something to make that, to create a world at peace? I stop for a minute and say, well, first thing I need to be able to do is to open myself up to the possibility that that's true. Is it possible? Do I believe, as Jesus said, do you believe I can do this? Can I begin to believe in the possibility of a world at peace? That's the starting point. Or am I willing to look at the possibility of a world at peace? Am I willing to be willing to look at a world that's possible with peace? So I start wherever I happen to be with that. I might have to take 5, 6, 10 steps back to be willing to be willing to be willing to be willing to see a world at peace. And you'll know that energetically when you reach a point where you say, yes, I'm not exactly where I'd like to be. I'm kind of a 10 step backwards here, but I, in this particular spot where I am, this awareness that I'm at, I do believe in the possibility of a world at peace. And I work on that one, and I pray on that one, I meditate on that one, until what happens then is the next door is open. And now instead of being willing to be willing to be willing to be willing, now I'm willing to be willing to be willing. And I open that up a little bit more and a little bit more. As the being that you are at this level of tone is the window, is the doorway, is the illumination that transforms the world you see. Thank you for your presence. Stop now. I'm going to do part of this next paragraph, and I'm going to need to close a little bit early today because I've got double duty. And I got to get mic'd up. What stands before you today is opportunity to release and to recognize your participation in the ideas that have held you, claimed you in separation. Just what we were saying. Do you believe I can do this? It can happen. Never did happen, can happen. holding myself in separateness rather than oneness. The identity you have known yourself through, forged through separation, wishes to know itself in a higher amplitude, and its consent is participatory to the action you are now engaging in. In other words, are you willing to surrender your small self's wish and desire to be open to a higher consciousness? Small self doesn't create inner awareness, but small self allows it to surrender so that awareness can be there. It's our the creation of the essence or higher consciousness is always there. So it's right there right now. Your small self does not create that. Your small self opens up to it. And it opens up to it by the act of surrender. Am I willing to let go of the things that are holding me down? Holding me back? As comforting as they might seem sometimes. As logical as they might seem sometimes. When the personality has said, yes, the idea of who I am may be moved to a higher strata of vibration. The aspects of self that would demand to be seen anew, will come forth and be re-seen. That's probably the key element, not just of today's work, but of any work that we've been doing. Simply put, when the personality, the ego consciousness, the small self, has said, yes, the idea of who I am may be moved to a higher strata of vibration. That's a possibility. I am opening myself up to the possibility that my limited consciousness may be raised to a higher level so that I might be more and more open to my higher self, my divine consciousness. When the personality has said yes, the idea of who I am may be moved to a higher strata of vibration. The aspects of self that would demand to be seen anew, will come forth to be re-seen. And the claim we make today, it will be so, is the manifest divine supporting this act of recreation. In other words, it's happening right now. Whether you are consciously aware of it or not, it is happening. Do you believe it is happening right now? And when you believe it is happening right now, it is happening right now. Can I ask you to put your stuff down? I have a very deep sense of gratitude this morning. Thank you. Thank you for letting me spout off. It's not just me that's spouting off. I believe it's the divine working through me most of the time anyway. Close your eyes, take a breath. Notice where it is in your life that you are being called to grow. Your growing edge. Could be letting go of something, like letting go of anger or fear or judgment. Could be an energy inside of you that is wanting and desiring to be raised to a higher level of consciousness. How could I see this differently? The Course in Miracles says. Could be something that needs to be healed. A wound that you keep picking at. It's saying, when are you going to let go of this wound and allow yourself to heal? No matter what it is, just become aware of it. And probably more than one, but just become aware of one of those growing edges of yours, of ours. And allow yourself to say these words. I am willing to heal. I am willing to release. I am willing to open myself up to the energy of transformation. And allow that mysterious energy called grace just to begin to unfold around you and inside of you. For the grace and light and being to heal, to transform, to let go. I am grateful. I am grateful. I'm grateful. Deep breath. Stretch a bit. And you can open your eyes when you're ready. Thanks for being with us this morning. Take good care of yourselves.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you, guys.
Blessed day.
Thank you, Jerry.